The seventh word is Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We all know of that sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and there he tells of this canvas stretched out over a fiery canyon, and he speaks of how we all walk along that tender little fabric. At any moment we could plunge down into a bottomless pit of hell. Now that's a pretty threatening picture of our vulnerability, isn't it? In fact, Edwards says this: no man can boast that he is but a footstep away from falling. And even Edwards himself, back in 1758, just a few years after he penned that sermon, he himself got caught up in that smallpox epidemic, and he himself unexpectedly died, just like we're caught up in this coronavirus pandemic. As we see, it's like a pale white horse of Revelation 6 galloping through our country, leaving thousands of graves in its wake. So we're in a pretty vulnerable place ourselves, aren't we? What are we going to trust in? Are we going to trust in Dr. Birx? Are we going to trust in Dr. Fauci and their analysis? Are we going to trust in Washington? Hey, we got you covered with enough ventilators? No. That's trusting in a spider's web. There's no support there. But the support we have is in this final word of the Lord Jesus, who says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, there is a safe place of support there. The men have already told us today that Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was strapped into the electric chair of eternal punishment in the place of sinners. And all of his criminal friends and all of their sins were downloaded onto the hard drive of Christ's infinite soul. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And he was banished to a hellish horror of teeth-gnashing outer darkness away from the smile of his Father. Because praise God, he took our hell. He sacrificed himself. He was roasted in the furnace of the holy, holy, holy God's wrath against sin. Until, as our brother said here, it was finished. In the sixth word, what a friend for sinners we have in the Lord Jesus. And we see how he's already given us a reason to live. And he's made us a way to really live. And he's taught us how to live. And now in this last word, he teaches us how to die. You just consider how in a few ways. First, consider the treasure he shows us. It says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so it is with every woman or child or man. Our most precious possession is it's our spirit. It's our soul. It's the non-corporeal part of our body. Jeff Bezos may think his billions are his most precious possession, but the Lord Jesus tells us, what does it profit us if we gain the whole world but lose our soul, our spirit? Old John Flavel says, a whole world is but a trifle if weighed for the price of a single soul. I even think of a Michigan man years ago. His house burned down at night. He stood in the front yard. The whole thing was burning down, but he had alongside of him his wife and his two children, and he told a reporter, I've lost nothing. I've got everything. And the fact of the matter is, if we, beloved, have our souls safe, we have everything. That's the only thing that we have that's worth preserving, because our bodies are disposable dwellings. They're going to collapse soon under the weight of gravity and the curse. And the only thing that matters is, what's the eternal address of our souls? Where will they be? That's to be the raging concern of our lives. Will we be forever basking in the glory of heaven and Christ's grace? Or will we be shuddering in the horrors of outer darkness? Because the single treasure is what Jesus tells us, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. That's what matters. But secondly, consider the guardian. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. First word, he says, Father, forgive them. Fourth word, he said, my God. And now it's back to Father. Back to Father again in the seventh word. The only time in the whole New Testament when Jesus addressed his God as anything but Father is that fourth word, because there he who had known no sin became sin for us. You see, at that time, the Lord Jesus had taken on sin, and all of the guns of the firing squad of God's justice were emptied into the Lord Jesus Christ until justice smiled and asked no more, because their brother said, it is finished. And now fatherly affection has returned with a vengeance on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious thing a father is, huh? A friend of mine, his son ran in the Atlanta Marathon Olympic time trials. And he said, when I saw him at mile 9, he was crushed. Then I saw him at mile 17, and he was crying. And the dad wanted to go out and carry the boy the rest of the way. What a father's love. Look at the boy named Joe. What if his Nike GPS watch band had broken? He would toss it to his dad more than to a fan, right? Because a father's love is so secure. Flavel says this, father is a sweet, encouraging, assuring title, and well may a son commit any concernment, however dear, into the hands of a father. So Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, my never dying, forever enduring, everlasting soul. And surely there is a safe keeper, huh? Putting it into the hands of our Father, because in Christ who purchased the inheritance for us, we now have this love in our heart, this Abba Father of Romans chapter 8. And so now we, like the returning prodigal, can bask in the love, the embrace, the father who hangs on the neck of the filthy, stench-smelling son. And so when a saint who was previously sinned-soaked, like me and like you, when we're struck with our death blow, we can just exhale like Christ did, our last breath, and we can turn forward and be assured that we have a resting place in the arms of our Father. I'm from out in Holland, and we got the river of Black River Makatao, and it pours its way. It just throws itself into Lake Michigan. And likewise, we find that's what we can do when we have gone through our long, winding life. We can hurl ourselves into the arms of our Father, having finished our course, just like the Lord Jesus did. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So we've seen the treasure and the guardian. Consider just the entrustment. It says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now this is a precedent for all of us. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, he says, I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced he is able to guard what I've committed. There it is again. What I've committed to him until that last day. Now, this is very personal for the Apostle Paul. Be able to commit something into the hands of God. Because in 1:16 of 2 Timothy, it said he was in chains. And 4:6, he says, my departure is about to come. Paul's head was about to tumble into a basket, decapitated by Rome. And so we say of Paul, how are you still sane? Why are you still calm? Why aren't you terrified? You could say, me, terrified? My Lord Jesus taught me that I'm not to fear the one who can kill body, but can't touch my soul. And so he was calm. I've left that treasure in safe hands, my heavenly Father. One writer has said, Jesus was making a deposit in a safe place to which, after the crisis of death was over, he'd come back to recover. Because he'd also done like the Lord Jesus. He'd put his soul into his Father's hands. But we ask, well, how can this be? Didn't Paul call himself the chief of sinners? Well, what's a chief of sinner doing entrusting his soul into the hands of the three times holy God? He cannot look on iniquity with favor. But he says, into your hands I commit my spirit, into your hands. Doesn't Hebrews 10 say it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God? What's up with this? This is unthinkable daring that the apostle has to say, into my hands I commit my spirit. Because it's propitiation that's taken place on the cross. The wrath of the Father was propitiated. You see a child throwing a tantrum, shouting in a rage. You take the pacifier, and there's silence there. And likewise, the rage of the Father against sin is silenced by Christ having satisfied that. We heard about a fire burning over a whole area, so that if a wagon train is heading westward and there's a tsunami of fire coming, if you burn over an acre, and then the whole wagon train nestles itself into the burned over area, they're safe and cozy and unharmed. And if we hide ourselves at the foot of the cross on Golgotha, though we deserve to be devoured by the wrath of God, we're safe and cozy and untouched, and the wrath of God passes over us. So now the safest place in the universe for hell-deserving sinners who've entrusted their souls to Christ, that's the safest place a soul could ever be. Into your hands I commit my spirit. But just quickly in closing, there's a word to professing believers here. It speaks of Esau, who sold his inheritance for a mess of pottage, for a bowl of salty stew. And so for us, it's very possible that we could have some darling salty stew that we delight in. And if on the last breath we say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, but for the previous days of our lives, we showed that sin was our darling and not our heavenly Father, that's a hollow plea in the end. Somebody said we all carry on nails in our pockets. Let's all empty our pockets here, huh? On Good Friday. And hate our sin and truly love our Savior. Truly repent on Good Friday. There's also a word to dying sinners here. And that's just this, that the Lord Jesus has marked out the way for us to die well. All of our heartbeats should be, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. Stephen said it in Acts 7 while the skull-bashing stones were winging toward his head. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Polycarp, he had that in his mouth too while the flames curled up around his stake body. And the gallows-standing martyrs, they took the same way when they were about to swing from a rope. There's a man in my church, he was in a hospice bed looking out his picture window into his bleak, snowy farm with cancer. And that's what he died with. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus gave us that example. That's the way we're all to take, relying wholly on the propitiating cross work of Christ. Just a last word to living sinners. To living sinners. There's comfort in Good Friday, isn't there? Yeah, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no comfort to be found there. The earth would swallow you up. The little canvas of your life could quickly rip and you could fall in. In fact, one of us leaving on Leonard Street, we could be hit. We could be out on a country road in Ottawa County and we're struck, thrown to the shoulder of the road, and our life blood is pouring out our ears and our nostrils and our mouth. What are we going to say? You got to have this in your heart. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There's no other safe place. So believe in the Lord Jesus. Don't waste your Good Friday. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Say, Father, remember me like the thief. And with but a word, you can make your judge to be your Father. And you'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we ask that this day would be owned by you for our good and your glory. In his name, amen.